get my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. This is Dr. Wanda Lee, and on behalf of my two partners, Dr. Michael and Dr. Noah, I have the distinct pleasure of making a very special announcement today on behalf of our sister company, Beyond Your Wildest Genes Academy. We have a new program to launch, and this one is just for you, ladies. It is Getting to Goddess. It's your turn. We know that you're looking for ways to retain youth and vitality, to get energy and feminine power, and to build health for you and your family. You have an inner goddess. Have you seen her lately? She knows how to care for herself so she can take care of others. She has time and balance in her days, weeks, months, and years. Your inner goddess nourishes herself and those she loves, both inside and out. And your inner goddess creates the relationships and the space in her life to bring her dreams, her talents, and her passions to others. Your inner goddess is waiting, and we're here to help you uncover her. It's time to wake up your inner goddess, and our 4-week online program combines proven information, science, and simple, effective strategies to build your energy, regain your balance, and find your purpose. It's time for you, so let us help. For more information, go to our website, beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Click on the Beyond Your Wildest Genes Academy link and find Getting to Goddess. Or you can get there directly at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com/getting-to-goddess. We hope you enjoy it as much as we've enjoyed making this program. We have poured our hearts and souls into this course, and we can't wait for you to benefit from it. So thank you again for being part of our Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast tribe. And we hope you enjoy this week's podcast release.
Hello, and welcome back to Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer, and I am your co-host. Today, our guests are Greg Elliott and Jason Moore from Elite HRV and G-Tech Health. We've used personally HRV in our chiropractic offices for nearly 10 years. So personally, I'm excited to bring on a few experts to talk about this mysterious thing called HRV, or heart rate variability. And make sure all of you listen to the end, because there's a special offer on an incredible course that these two guys created. There's a discount code, so listen all the way to the end. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us on.
All right, so
yes, definitely doing well. Thanks, Noah. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Greg, Jason, I'm going to do your bios and then we're going to get started, okay?
Sounds good.
Great. So Jason is the founder of Elite HRV, the heart rate variability platform now used by Olympians, pro sports, doctors, research organizations, and over 100,000 health and performance seekers. Over the past 5 years, he's been researching and using HRV technology, and through active collaboration with the aforementioned groups, is continuously exposed to the latest scientific research and methods for making the best use of HRV and other biomarkers. He used this experience to help thousands of people and hundreds of organizations implement HRV into their lives and careers. Greg is an exercise physiologist and kinesiologist who has worked with various hospitals, universities, clinics, fitness facilities, and sports teams in Canada, the U.S., and around the world. He completed his Master's of Science in Exercise Science at Bloomsburg University of Pennsylvania, where he attended a basketball scholarship. Greg is passionate about teaching and learning about the latest improvements in the field of exercise, science, rehabilitation, and manual therapy. Ooh, I made it through. There's a lot of big words in there.
Yeah. You did great. It was better than I could have done.
Okay, so first question always, and you know, you guys can choose who wants to go first, but our first question always is your journey. You know, flesh out your bio a little bit just to set the stage so we can so our audience can get a feel of who you are and how you, you know, came up with this HRV course and using HRV technology.
Yeah, I'll let Jason, since he was introduced first, we'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it. So my background is in information systems design and implementation. I used to kind of help set up, design, and implement large data tracking systems in the oil and gas industry. And we were tracking the health of really complex and expensive equipment out in the field using sensors and a lot of data inputs and a lot of trending analysis and lots of things that are very useful and important, but can also put people to sleep if they're not done correctly. And so doing this on the side or as my main job, I was also a health coach and personal trainer on the side, very personally invested in understanding in depth the intricacies of health and the integrated system that the body is, and eventually decided to kind of marry these two, the passion I had for the health and performance with the experience and background that I had in data analysis, systems design, and creating a tool that was useful for people for decision making. Somewhere in that mix, I discovered heart rate variability, and it came onto my radar as a tool that might be something very powerful and useful to people, but the options that were available at the time were either expensive or kind of clunky, or I just thought that given my experience, I could probably design something a little more useful and accessible too, because there were pretty useful tools, they were just expensive. And so I guess that's the long way of saying that's how Elite HRV was born. It started as a side project while I worked in oil and gas. And as soon as I put it out there and started iterating on it with feedback from lots of people, it just grew into an animal all of its own. And, you know, we haven't really done any advertising or anything. It's all been word of mouth growth. And pretty soon I had, you know, national sports teams and Olympians and different people contacting me and saying, how can we do this or that? And just networking. And Greg, that's how Greg and I met, actually, is he was looking at different systems as well and came across Elite HRV and contacted me very early in Elite HRV's life cycle several years ago. And we just kind of got along famously and liked a lot of the research and in-depth stuff, so continued to establish a relationship, went on to create a course together and everything. So I'll let Greg take it from there.
I'll do my background real quick. Was big into basketball. I originally went to Montreal to a stage up there, and then transferred to Bloomsburg University, where I continued up my career, and I was always interested in exercise. So I started with exercise science and kind of grew as I started to get into it more. And I got into a master's degree where I first kind of got introduced to HRV when I was doing my thesis on non-invasive ways of measuring heart function, and was kind of introduced there. And when I moved back home to Vancouver, Canada, where I am now, I started realizing that the people that are in the know were kind of introducing this biomarker for a lot of their training and kind of more of a readiness to exercise. And I started to look into a little bit more of what's going on and contacting, pretty much anybody that knew anything about this. And again, that's how I got introduced to Jason. And it's been quite a few years now. And we kind of created this course out of, I think, a lot of the misconceptions about HRV and kind of what it can do. And I think a lot of people kind of limited its potential. And I thought, let's open up some of the blinders that some of the people have of regards to what this actually measures. It's not just readiness to exercise. It's so many things that it does. And so we created this course to say, people do a great job of looking at HRV in individual realms, whether it's, emotional stress or readiness to exercise. But let's make people understand, what this actually measures and how all these actually are combined into this one measurement. So, yeah, it's been a great journey and it only keeps growing and snowballing from there. So we got a bright future for the course and everything.
I hear you. Now, so we mentioned the term, HRV or heart rate variability probably more than a dozen times already. So let me consider this question like HRV 101. So guys, what is HRV?
Greg, you want to start with that, and then I'll maybe talk about how it's different from heart rate?
You bet. So, HRV or heart rate variability is, in a nutshell, what we want to look at is we don't want our heart rate to beat like a metronome. We don't want this kind of consistent beat to beat. You know, when you look at a time frame in you know, when the heartbeats come back, we don't want something that's 0.95 seconds, 0.95 seconds, 0.94 seconds, 0.93 seconds. That's a very consistent heart rate. What we actually want is we want flexibility and adaptability in our system. So when that heart rate comes back, when we're in a resting state or any kind of state, we want to see, you know, 0.74 seconds, 0.95 seconds, 0.68 seconds. You know, that kind of variability from beat to beat, that actually shows our increased ability to adapt to stress. And it gives us a very big indication of the autonomic nervous system and how our body is functioning as a whole. So that's kind of basic 101, is just saying we don't want necessarily want that consistent heart rate, and I'll let Jason kind of get into the difference between that and heart rate in general.
Yeah, kind of like Greg was mentioning, the heart doesn't beat like a metronome typically, at least when you're at rest and when you're not under stress. And so by drilling down into those little interbeat intervals, which is what they're kind of the technical term is, interbeat intervals or R to R intervals, which are basically those times between each heartbeat, we can run specific algorithms on those and calculations on those to drill into different systems in the body that have an influence on your heart. And as many people are aware, the heart plays a pretty important role in the body. So it's really centrally integrated with most of every process in the body. Specifically, the autonomic nervous system is one of the ones that Greg mentioned. And we tend to focus on that one because it's tied in. It's kind of like the central regulatory system for a lot of processes. And based on those changes in those inner beat intervals in your heart, we can calculate what the autonomic nervous system is up to. So everything from digestion to blood sugar regulation to kind of energy production for exercise or recovery or your immune system function, all of these are really tightly integrated with the autonomic nervous system. And we can kind of drill into some of that by running specific calculations.
Jason, you mentioned something before, and I think you did too, Greg, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Jason, you said decision-making. So in the beginning, HRV primarily was used for with elite athletes to see if they were overtraining and when they should or shouldn't be training. Is that a fair assessment or statement?
Yeah, as with many things, there's, a lot of the research actually originated on the medical side, but then popularized by high-performance sports.
Okay. And, you know, we use HRV in our chiropractic office because a chiropractic adjustment balances the autonomic nervous system. So we can kind of track how a person's doing by using HRV as a strong health indicator. And I assume that that's part of what you guys are doing as well, correct?
Right. Yeah. So that's a big thing in our clinic. So I work in a rehab clinic and kind of more of like an interdisciplinary where we got naturopaths and traditional Chinese medicine doctors and massage therapists, osteopaths. So kind of the whole gamut of different people. And yeah, we use it to understand where people are when they come in, what are we dealing with from a whole standpoint as a person. You know, we have subjective, yes, I'm tired, yes, I'm this and that. But this is kind of we have one number that kind of objectively look at the kind of the well-being of the person. Not only that, we have our movement assessments. We can score those various things from there. So whether I send them to the naturopath or TCM doc, we have a kind of accountability tool for us to say, okay, well, this person's doing better or this person's not improving. Okay, well, what are we missing? What's going on?
Right, right. And you, there's some other terms that you mentioned that I think are really important. And that's adaptability. I mean, as humans, if we can't adapt properly to all the different stressors, regardless of their internal stressors, outside stressors, we just can't be as healthy as we possibly can. So essentially, is HRV tracking the adaptability of our body?
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. It tracks really well with resilience and adaptability. There's obviously like some things that you can do to kind of fudge the numbers, so to speak. Like, for example, if you're really aerobically fit, your heart rate variability will appear to be higher. And in general, that will make you more adaptable and resilient. But there's like a a threshold where there's diminishing returns on that. For example, if you're like an ultra endurance athlete and you survive off pizza and donuts and caffeine, then there's going to be a ceiling that you hit eventually where that increased aerobic fitness is no longer giving you more adaptability or resilience in from a perspective of health. So, but your HRV will appear higher than your peer group most likely because of that elevated aerobic fitness. So there's a lot of context involved, and that's like some of the stuff that we go into depth on in the course, and we try to present that too in our platform, is that context is important. But yeah, in general, the greater your heart rate variability at rest, the greater adaptability that you have and the higher resilience you have. And in general, also the lower your heart rate variability, meaning like the more consistent your heartbeat at rest, then the lower your resilience is, the more rigidity there is in the system and inability to tolerate stress.
Right. So the confusion we get in our office often is that heart rate variability, because it's using the heart as its indicator, that it's actually a heart test, and you mentioned this before. It's not. Is it an indication of how healthy your heart is, or is it much more an indication of how healthy your entire body is?
Yeah, it's more. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
No, you go ahead. Yeah, for sure.
I'll just quickly sum, and you can add up to it, is that definitely if you're having heart issues, that will contribute to systemic conditions. So, you know, in one sense, the heart is important, of course, but it is looking way deeper. We're basically using the heart as a non-invasive stepping stone to look deeper into the rest of the body by running fairly complicated algorithms on those beat-to-beat changes. So it's just kind of a nice, it's kind of like getting a blood draw to measure, you know, micronutrient status or cholesterol or whatever it is that you're looking at. You're not actually just like measuring the health of just your blood and your in the test tube. You're trying to gain a deeper insight into other processes in the body through that blood test. So we're trying to do a non-invasive measure of the autonomic nervous system and the body as a whole, and using those beat-to-beat intervals as our entry point.
Yeah, and I was kind of say kind of from a perspective of that is it's almost like, you know, when chronic stress and all those things kind of accumulate over time, that's when kind of, you know, heart disease necessarily comes back to insulin resistance and all of these things. So for us, it's almost like, is it a heart test? Well, maybe down the road for you, you know, this could be something where it can lead to all sorts of kind of cardiovascular disease or things like that. But you know, I wouldn't say it's just a heart test, because like Jason said, it's looking at the processes that you know, affect the heart. So it's kind of a much, much deeper level than just specifically the heart itself.
Okay. So now here's a question that's very important for our audience, because our audience runs from the everyday person to the elite athlete to the doctor and everyone in between. How can the everyday person benefit from tracking their heart rate variability?
Yeah, it's the neat thing about HRV is that it's a systemic metric. So what that means is that it's looking at the big picture of your overall condition. And as people have probably learned from listening to you, Noah, is that the body is pretty integrated, and things like exercise also impact your sleep or your health, or you know, nutrition has an impact, and definitely the health of your nervous system and structural health, like through your practice, plays a big role in energy levels and just your ability to perform in life. So all of these processes, I could go on and on about all the different things that are integrated within the body, and HRV is kind of like an overarching metric that kind of shows you what the big picture looks like. So if you're that there's pros and cons to that. The pros are that in general, you can use it as an indicator. So let's say I'm an average person who just maybe works a little more than I would like to, probably, you know, doesn't eat quite as healthy as I want to, or doesn't have as much time to exercise as I like, you can really kind of start to see, okay, how is this impacting me on a systemic level? Like, is my health really getting impacted if I skip this exercise, or should I really be trying to exercise maybe 3 times a week to kind of maintain my health? And you can start to kind of drill in on what are the things in my life that I can make small tweaks on and see really big improvement in my overall health. The cons are, like I kind of mentioned, is that you do have to do a little bit of troubleshooting. You can't just measure your HRV and then all of a sudden say, oh, well, it's just because I've been eating too few bananas or something like that. You know, it doesn't give you like a specific recommendation on what to do. But in the course, like Greg can talk about, we have a checklist that people can go through of some of the major contributing areas like nutrition or, you know, sleep and things that have a likely, statistically likely impact on your overall health condition. And then the last piece there is that it's even for the elite athlete or the people who are focused on training, you know, it helps kind of determine what the systemic impact of that training is, how it fits into the rest of your lifestyle, and how the recovery process kind of ties into that. So hopefully that wasn't too all over the place. I'll let Greg talk a little bit more about some of his experience.
Yeah, so with HRV, kind of the beauty of HRV is also kind of one of its downfalls, is how simplistic relatively that it is, where it's one number to kind of give you an overall picture, but it doesn't tell me necessarily how you came to be that number. You know, just because if someone gives me an HRV report, I mean, I can't relatively say it's because you have heart disease or because you're very emotionally stressed because you just lost your job. You know, it really comes down to this checklist that I kind of developed from a sense where, you know, as I started to implement this and some of the feedback, some of the questions I got from other practitioners goes, well, this is a great score, but what do I do with it? You know, where do I go from here? And in our clinic here, we use a lot of, you know, numbers for assessments for movement and movement quality and competency. And you know, just because someone scores a certain number doesn't necessarily tell me why they have pain or what's going on, but it kind of gives you a starting point. And the checklist kind of comes from just a generalized, okay, let's start from the big picture and kind of narrow down from there. Because, you know, being in kinesiology and osteopathy, osteopathic student, you know, that's kind of, I'm in the rehab realm. But if someone comes to me and you know, they have an aggressive form of cancer, I mean, there's, you know, I can't give a fitness solution to a health problem, right? So they may be in my room complaining of the pain, but, you know, some of those things I can kind of help them with, but they got to get medically cleared to from there. Or, you know, someone that's, you know, cleared medically, everything emotionally is fine, but as Jason's saying, you're eating donuts and bags of chips for dinner. Maybe that's somewhere necessarily we start with things. So it kind of looks at the goal of everything. And sometimes you have to really dig deep. And there's one client that I had that I usually use this example where we're sitting down and, you know, relatively healthy, successful person in their 40s, always, you know, relatively had a clean bill of health from my perspective, ate well and, you know, was happy with his job and sat down and I go, okay, well, tell me about your social life. You know, do you do any drugs? No. Any marijuana? No. What about alcohol? Well, you know, it's a part of the job. Being a lawyer, you're out there and you gotta mingle and do that kind of stuff. So, you know, I have drinks here and there. I'm like, well, what's drinks here and there? Like, well, typically, you know, about 40 or 70 drinks a week. And I go, oh, okay. So that starts to make sense of understanding of why our HRV is 90 one day and you know, two the other. You know, this kind of variability where it's all over the map, because, you know, that's something that's like, okay, well, this isn't a still is something that, you know, why are you drinking or why is this kind of, you know, drinking that much? And so it just gives us from that, if I didn't sit down and talk to him about this, go over the checklist, you know, who knows if I would have known this, you know? So our intake process is very, very diligent of this. And like I said, it's more of a holistic look. We got to kind of dig deeper. Yes, this is your value. Better starting point.
So I'd like to maybe add a little bit too, in the sense that I know, Dr., that genetics and epigenetics are a pretty integrated piece of your work.
Yes.
And it's something that, you know, it would be interesting to do more research on. And this is something that the evolution of technology has added an interesting thing for individuals can do their own experimentation. But to kind of come back to what I was saying is that I would estimate, based on my experience and based on talking to others and looking at kind of the pieces that you need to have in place to have your optimal gene expression, I would say it's highly likely that elevating your HRV values and using that as kind of a number to help guide you towards better systemic condition would also be, it would also align with kind of setting yourself up for the best gene expression and there's a lot of repercussions to that, which we don't have to go into. It's beyond my necessarily expertise. But that, I just thought it would be interesting. It kind of came to mind that I don't know how much background listeners already have on all of that, but I'm assuming a lot since they're listening to you. But it's one of those kind of systemic variables that says, okay, I've heard that I need to sleep more, right? Maybe everyone says 7 to 9 hours or something like that. But that's actually like first of all, of course, there's no exact amount that's perfect for everyone, but you can kind of start to do some self-experimentation and say, okay, if I want to improve my overall condition and maximize my gene expression to its fullest ability and kind of, you know, live a better life, pass on the best genetic setup for my offspring and all of this stuff, you know, how much does sleep really impact all of that, right? Like, is it really different if I sleep 5 hours a night versus 8 hours a night? And you can start to do some self-experimentation with something like HRV, and it's not going to tell you what your epigenetic condition is, but it may be something that's easy to measure that helps guide you in the right direction. And then you could work with somebody like you hands-on to say, okay, what kind of impact am I really having at the deeper level? But again, kind of you can say, okay, this week I'm going to make a concerted effort to sleep 8 hours a night, and I'm going to measure my HRV during that. And then next week I'll go back to my schedule of 5 hours a night or whatever and see what the difference is. And sometimes it'll be easy to feel differences in those types of things, but you get a really objective single value that you can kind of track. And, you know, maybe it takes 2 weeks for you to really shift your circadian rhythm to where sleeping 8 hours is comfortable. So you have to kind of play with it. It depends on the person. But you at least get kind of a nice metric that's like, okay, I'm going to play with this one variable, see what happens. Am I moving the needle in the right direction? And sleep's just one example. Exercise is something tons of people are interested in. It's, like I said, high-performance sports is one of the arenas that popularized HRV to the masses. A lot of endurance athletes have heard of it and use it for optimizing their training, but mainly because for those folks, exercise is the number one stressor, so to speak, in their life. So if you're training a lot, then that the stress of that training most likely is kind of like the single biggest source of stress for you. That's not always the case. It could be, even for some athletes, going through like a divorce or having a relative die or trying to balance a full-time desk job with full-time training for a sport. You know, those are all other sources of stress that will impact your ability to perform with exercise and training, and they also impact your ability to recover from that training. And so again, you can kind of experiment with different things and say, okay, well, you know, I'm training for this event and I have all these other stressors that I'm trying to balance. If I just train more, am I really getting more out of that training? And I can track heart rate variability. And of course, you want to track things like your actual performance. So you don't want to track HRV in a vacuum. You kind of want to say also, you know, am I performing better, or do I feel better, or do I have more energy throughout the day? Those are kind of nice things to track alongside it. But HRV gives you a nice objective measure of whether you're moving that needle in the right direction. So more training might not be better. You might find that your heart rate variability starts to go down as you add more training. And that's okay in the short term because you know, obviously training is stress and you want to have periods of ups and downs to have adaptation. But if you're continuously pushing that number down and over time, then likely more training is not doing you any good and you're not increasing your fitness level most likely. And or you're pushing the boundaries of your recoverability, and then eventually something may have to give. So,
yeah, you know, Jason, that's well said. And let me put in my perspective, what we've done, and then, you know, kind of translate into what an individual person can do. And chime in anytime you guys want. But you know, we've been using HRV in our office for about 10 years, or maybe even longer. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we basically called it a 30-day paleo challenge, paleolithic diet. And what we did was we measured the person's weight. We put everybody on a paleo diet, and we also measured their HRV. And we came up with kind of a score. And these patients did a paleo diet for 30 days, and most of them got adjusted too, because we know that improves HRV. And then, you know, there was money involved, and the person who improved their HRV and their weight the most, you know, collected the money. And it was, you know, it's a nice thing for our office. And we still do that to this day. But we had the HRV. And it clearly showed us that diet had a huge role in HRV, in reducing inflammation. It showed us that exercise has a huge role in improving HRV. Sleep and circadian rhythms, like you meant, chiropractic care had a huge part in it. Stress management had a huge part in it. But I think what you guys have created is an HRV unit, I guess, to say that you can do this individually, where you don't have to go somewhere to actually do it. Is that correct? Like, you guys have technology like that the individual can measure their HRV on a regular basis, correct?
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was kind of our goal. As soon as I started digging into the research on HRV and networking with people who are kind of innovators like yourself in the use of HRV, it became really apparent that to the average person, it would be really useful if they could do their own experimentation. And also, the more often you could capture these points of data, and to a point, it's not like you want to measure 24/7 or something like that. But if you can capture just a minute or two each day, then all of a sudden it kind of opens the doors on your ability to tinker with different lifestyle changes and see exactly how they impact you, or to see if they have a big impact at all. Because sometimes things, as you're aware and as listeners may be aware, some things may have a positive impact, but it's very small. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not worth it. But you may, if you have limited time and energy, you may want to focus on something that will move the needle a bit more. So like you mentioned in that 30-day challenge, that helps people really focus. Okay, what are the things that move the needle in this 30 days? And they can kind of play with it. And they could do their own 30-day challenge in addition to, you know, participating in a group effort like that.
Yeah, and you're saying about the technology, and just, you know, just thinking about this, and you know, one thing that I think Jason has done with his company, Elite HRV, is the fact that he's now brought a reliable and scientific measurement to the masses at an extremely low cost. Where, you know, not the founder of a company, but his brother who works with us now and does a lot of the management side for our company, he was at the Malaysian Sports Institute, and he was there, and there was a company that came over and about almost 15 years ago now, saying, hey, we can measure HRV, and, you know, we can get all your athletes on it, and blah, blah, blah. And the cost is $100,000. Right. And it's just like, whoa, that's pretty crazy, you know? And so he started looking into it and doing all these tools and things like that. And then when he came back to Vancouver and he introduced to me, and he's like, wait a second, you can do all this for a free app and a heart rate strap now? you know, and kind of is blown away by that. So the big push is people like Jason that have come out and developed this measurement tool for HRV for almost pretty much no cost to people. That's why it's kind of really exploding in the mainstream stuff, is the accessibility to the everyday consumer. Now, the big thing that we saw the differences is trying to educate the people of how to use this technology and use this information for their benefit, for their, not only for their performance, but also for their health. So we saw a big gap when it started to really start to get mainstream away from, you know, the lab and, you know, from this high end sports teams where they had sports scientists kind of looking at these values, where, you know, everyday kind of runner that wants to, you know, get an extra, you know, go under the 3 hour marathon time. This is where we saw the opportunity to kind of help those people use this the proper way.
You know, I echo those sentiments, Greg and Jason. I believe Dr. Mike bought the first HRV in our office. I forget exactly how many years ago, but I believe it was $10,000. You know, so yeah. So I totally get it. So now it could be a couple hundred bucks or less, you're saying, right? You're saying it's an app and a heart strap. Is that really ultimately what somebody needs to use your program and to use your technology to measure their HRV?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. We accept any chest strap that's accurate enough. And, you know, heart rate variability is a, like we mentioned, it's a deeper metric. It requires a lot of accuracy still. So that's been one of the limiting factors of why some of those machines were so expensive in the past, is that you do need a high degree of accuracy to actually calculate these measurements. And and then in recent years, the chest straps have really become accurate enough and to where we can run HRV analyses just from something like a polar chest strap. Also, interestingly, the timing of this podcast is that we are trying to take it to the next level a little bit. One of the things that we've learned from listening to people over the years is that now that it's accessible, they're like, okay, well, I want it now in my wrist device or something like that. Like, I want my Fitbit or my Apple Watch or something to measure HRV. And unfortunately, those devices are not designed for heart rate variability. They're great for heart rate, but they don't look, or they don't use the same type of accuracy that we need for HRV. But the convenience is definitely nice. So we are actually creating our own hardware this year. We're going to take the plunge and come out with a finger-based solution that we're, it's, you know, in the course we teach in depth about how important accuracy is for heart rate variability. So we're taking it very seriously, but it just thought it'd be interesting to mention to folks that even the chest strap seems to be a fairly big enough annoyance to get people to kind of want to do something else. But we're going to try to remove that barrier too, because what we've seen is that the more people have access to HRV for convenience and cost wise, is the more that we're learning about it and the more that we're able to improve it and, you know, reach and serve more people. We've had some crazy testimonials and emails sent to us of things, uses for HRV that we'd never even dreamed of in the beginning. Everything from measuring it with racehorses, who we have racehorses on our platform, measuring with smartphone apps, and they have their own custom setup for capturing the interbeat intervals. But then all the way to, of course, Olympians, high-performance sports, you know, law enforcement, the stress of doing that shift work, and obviously there's other stressors of police, fire, military application, down to child psychology. And I say down, I was just picturing height-wise. There's nothing lesser about child psychology, but we've had some really powerful anecdotes of people tackling emotional and anxiety, depression, worry issues with heart rate variability. It's just a vastly wide spectrum, and I don't think that we could have reached all of those people or learned all of that without making it ultra accessible to folks. And you know, if every one of those people had to buy a $10,000 device, then none of them would have.
I agree, and I think you're right on track, because everybody's used to wearing a Fitbit or an Oura Ring or an iWatch. I mean, that's just commonplace, and it's only going to be more commonplace in the future. So I think you're right on target there.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. We're putting a ton of work into it right now, so it's fresh in my mind. We actually just finished filming our launch video for it. So if folks want to look it up, it's called CoreSense, and we'll have a link on Elite HRV. But yeah.
Cool. Now, I have two final questions for you guys. The first one, and it's a little bit more of a personal question, I guess you can call it that. A day in the life of Greg and Jason, from waking to bed to bedtime.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I'll tackle this one first. I'm very much an early riser, as Jason already knows. Usually our meetings occur very early in the morning, typically up by 5 o'clock. I get in my quick little run in the morning. I live right downtown Vancouver, and so there's like a little waterfront that I kind of do a little 20-25 minute little jog from there, and come home and usually at work by 7, whether you know, seeing clients or working on other things. And typically I, you know, the last couple of years, me and Jason have really worked on this course quite a bit, and even now we'll mention this at the end, but we're working on the second part of the course itself, and it's quite a beast to tackle through. We've been working on it for quite a while. So from there, and typically see, you know, a lot of our clinics, these very complicated rehabilitation clients. So, you know, we usually see clients from 7 to, you know, about 4 or 5 o'clock. Head home, and usually that's when dinner's made. And then have my son can kind of work out in the gym and do a more resistance training workout. And then finish up with, you know, emails and things ready for the day, and then go to bed and get my 6 hours of sleep. So pretty routine. I've always been a very routine person, but that's a typical day in life for me.
Thank you.
Very nice. Yeah, I can definitely agree that Greg is an early riser. it's an interesting question, because I've spent kind of the last several years really trying to figure out, not obsessively or anything, but just tweaking little lifestyle things and trying to build something that really works for me and that's sustainable and I can get a high degree of output from. So I try to wake up without an alarm when possible, which is now most of the time, thankfully, to having my own business. Took a long time to get there, but kind of wake up and try not to launch right into work. Even for a tech guy, like, I don't keep my phone in my bedroom, so it's in the other room. I get up, go get it, and take my HRV reading, kind of get a feel for how things are going, and then try to work out lightly first thing in the morning. I'm actually rehabbing a neck injury right now, which I actually don't know if I've announced publicly or anything, but it's the rehab is going well. And interestingly, not surprisingly though, HRV is tracking spot on with my injury and with my recovery and helping me with that. Had a temporary setback in the recovery. HRV also indicated that, as did my pain.
Right.
But that's going really well. I'm almost back to full function. So once I'm back to normal, I'll probably increase the intensity of my morning exercise a little bit. I don't eat right away or work right away. My first meeting is usually around 9, unless I'm meeting with Greg. And and then that's about when I start my work day. And we cook like 90% of our meals, or 90% of the food. I'm involved in the cooking process. We get most of our food locally from farmers markets and things. So, everything's pretty fresh and prepared, so there's a lot of cooking involved. It is time consuming to do that, but it's something I've come to enjoy. I'm also super passionate about this business, so I probably work on it way more than I should and end up not getting offline until, you know, 8 p.m. or so. I try to, when the sun goes down, try to basically limit myself to that. But recently we have a lot of projects coming up. So this is like a big stress load example of that people can relate to, is that sometimes I don't get off the computer till 10 p.m., which is like very suboptimal for circadian rhythm. But that's life occasionally. And basically, I know that I can see how my HRV values have reflected that, and also my energy levels and ability to go to sleep and get quality sleep. So as we wrap up the launch of this hardware, which is the main thing that's been keeping us working so much, we look forward to reducing that down and getting to bed earlier, going back to our normal schedule of no electronics after dinner. I mean, I say that sometimes we'll occasionally watch a show or something like that while we stretch out or do something, but we don't really watch TV. Has that, how about 10 more minutes of day in the life of Jason? No, I'm just kidding.
I should have gone into more detail. Mine seems very basic now.
It's also really flexible. So if anyone listening is an entrepreneur and running their own business, they know that every day is different than the day before. I mean, there's so many different things we're juggling. As the kind of CEO, face the business type person, I do spend a lot of time in calls and meetings. So my wife, Alyssa, who's the partner, co-owner of Elite HRV, she's the brains. She spends a lot less time on the phone, so she gets to do things like walk to town and work in a cafe and things like that, which is a nice addition to the day. But she still puts in a ton of hours as well.
Thank you both for that. So we mentioned it right off the bat, and you guys mentioned it several times. Talk a little bit about the course. The link for the course will be in our show notes. You guys have offered very nicely a 10% discount if you use the code BYWG. But give our audience a little bit of insight into the course, and then even touch upon the new course that you'll be releasing shortly.
Sure. How about I go first so I don't drone on? the course really stemmed in my mind from a continuous feedback of folks saying, I can tell that HRV is useful. It's been useful to me already, maybe even a little bit, but I'm just not sure I understand how it fits in with all these different processes in the body or lifestyle factors. So the main goal of the course is to provide kind of an in-depth science mechanisms behind HRV and then practical application. And it's not platform specific, so we don't really talk about Elite HRV at all or any specific hardware or software. We really try to educate and go into giving you the ability to utilize HRV regardless of what tool you have. So Greg, you can explain what we have coming to.
Yeah, and that's like Jason said. I mean, this is just the foundations. We want to make sure that everybody kind of understood the basics of what this measurement is, and how it can be so useful. And hundreds of people that have taken this course now, and only just for us over a year of launch, but pretty much just word of mouth from there. That they're like, well, this is great, but we want to know more than this. Like, this is, some people, we're educators, and like, yeah, we know the stuff, but let's get into real kind of application side. So we said, well, perfect, let's step it up a notch and let's really get in depth into a lot of the more complicated anatomy, physiology, and kind of get experts in the field that use it from a day-to-day practice and kind of give a presentation based on what they see and how they use HRV. So we got medical doctors and exercise physiologists and, chiropractors and nutritionists and all sorts of people that are going to do this section for the course and how they use it and what research shows and where things are kind of headed. So this advanced HRV course, which we're looking to launch by the end of the year, is going to just turn everything upside down for a lot of people and just really realize, like, how into this metric can go. So we're working on it every single day now, and we're trying to organize everyone around the world and trying to get this course delivered for everybody. So it's gonna every kind of course that's out there is really, really basic, but this is really gonna just blow the waters off of everything that we know about HRV.
Great. Yeah, it's, you know, just to quickly reiterate, who would take like the foundations course, for example? We've had basically people who are really interested in troubleshooting kind of their own condition, all the way up to cardiologists and strength and conditioning coaches in the NFL. I mean, we've had the full spectrum of folks take that foundations course and really find a lot of value in it. It's about 5 hours of video content, but it's kind of digested at your own pace, or 5 hours of content rather. And yeah, it's all kind of delivered online there.
Great. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Everything that we've talked about will be in the show notes and in our email when this is released. I'm not exactly sure when it will be, but we will certainly let everybody know. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer, your co-host, and you are listening to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. If you like what you've heard today, please share this with your friends and family and encourage them to subscribe on iTunes. We just released our newest course. By the time you hear this interview, it's called Getting to Goddess. And to check this out, please go to www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Click on the BYWG Academy, and the links to Getting to Goddess will be there. Thanks again, Jason. Thanks again, Greg. Thank you. And as my oldest son, Hayden, says, be awesome and never unawesome.